We're teaching on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. We're bringing out the fact that we need to learn of the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:1, the Apostle Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." The word gifts is in italics. It means that it was added at the translator's discretion to let you know that these are gifts in the fact that you can't earn them, you can't make them happen. A gift is given by the discretion of the giver, not the one who's receiving it. Amen? And so he's saying, I want you to understand that all these things work as the Spirit wills and work under the anointing of God. You can't make them happen, but it is God's will for them to happen. Amen? And he went on down and said in verse 11 that all of these are distributed or manifested out to the people as the Spirit of God wills. So actually, we could read it like this. Now, concerning things of the Spirit or concerning spiritual things, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Now, ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. It means you don't know. Amen. Stupid is knowing and not doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, you know, when he says not to be ignorant, he's saying, don't be lacking in knowledge. Don't live your life as a believer not understanding all the great things God has done for you. Amen? So we have already brought it down. Hosea 4:6, the prophet of in the Old Testament said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That word destroyed in the Hebrew means to be cut off from. So my people are cut off from the blessings of God because they don't know what they are. Amen? Why? Because you can't operate in what you don't know. Amen? If you don't know it's there, you can't use it. And if you don't know what's yours, you'll never walk in it. See, you'll never walk in healing till you get the revelation that Jesus is your healer. You can be a good Christian, love the Lord, go to church, read your Bible, but you'll never get healed until you realize that by His stripes ye were healed. Amen? And Jesus is your healer. I know it for a fact. I love the Lord. I got saved, was going to church, working with the youth, going out with the pastor, doing visitations, handing out tracts, and I was sick every other day. And I'd been taught that it was the Lord's will. He was trying to teach me something. I remember one summer there, but the summer Bonnie and I, after we got married, that next summer, the first part of June, I got sick, was in bed for 5 days and got up and went to church on Sunday, got a relapse, was back in bed the second 5 days. And finally, I just said, "Lord, if you don't teach me what you're trying to get me taught real soon, you're going to kill me." So And so, you know, we didn't know to believe God. But thank God, I'm going to tell you what. I got a hold of some scriptures in the summer of 1977. I'll tell you when I got a hold of them. And I'd been down visiting a friend of mine who had gotten a hold of some of Brother Hagin's stuff too. And he gave me a whole list of scriptures on healing. And I got my Bible out and went through them, and praise God, they were all in the Bible, and there they were, and I started memorizing those scriptures. And after I'd memorized about 15 of them, praise God, where I could quote them, Barney and I were driving back from Tennessee up to Virginia, where we were living at the time, and stuff. And so I was driving along right about the Withville area. I can remember I leaned over and I yelled it out, "I'm not going to be sick anymore." And Bonnie looked at me. She said, "What?" And the reason she said, "What?" was this. We were driving a little 1971 Ford Pinto that was so loud inside that you couldn't hear each other talk. Amen. Why was that? Because it was held together with duct tape and chicken wire. Praise God. And so I had to talk loud for her to hear me. And so I repeated it. I said, "According to God's word, I'm not going to be sick anymore. Jesus is my healer." Hallelujah. Amen. And from that point on, I started walking in health, learned how to believe God. And whenever I'd get attacked, I'd learn how to operate on the Word and get my healing. Praise God. And you know, it's worked ever since. Praise the Lord. God is good. But you can't operate in that until you get a revelation of it. So that's why the prophet in the Old Testament said, "My people are cut off from the things of God for a lack of knowledge." If you don't know it, you can't do it, because faith begins where the will of God is known. Amen. Once I know the will of God, then I can use my faith to operate in that. And so the Apostle Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's telling them that it's not God's will that they have a lack of knowledge of the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. But he wants them to know these things. Well, if God wanted the church of Corinth to know these things, he wants us to know them today, doesn't he? Because he hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's God's will that we have a revelation knowledge of the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. And then, of course, we drop down to to verse 3 here, where he says, "Therefore I make known to you," not take time to read all these verses. We read verse 1 through 11, but verse 3 is another point. He says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, once again, we're reminded that when the Spirit of God is in operation, He'll always glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll always exalt Jesus as Lord. Amen. In John chapter 16, Jesus said that He would glorify me. And then John 15, He said He would testify me. So the Lord Jesus has come to glorify and the Father, and the Holy Ghost has come to glorify the Son. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is here to bring attention to Jesus. Sometimes, you know, people want to operate in the things of the Spirit of God to draw attention to themselves. That's the wrong spirit. And, of course, when the gifts are in operation, if they're utterance gifts, of course, they're going to declare His Lordship. And if they're the revelation of the power gifts, they're going to reveal His Lordship. And they'll draw people to Jesus. Amen? So we need to understand that when it's the true Holy Ghost, Jesus will be glorified, and the body of Christ will be edified, and the devil will be terrified. Amen? Praise God. And so we get to walk in the blessings of it. Hallelujah. Then in verse 4, we found out there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, what's that mean? They're just different gifts. And we found out there are three categories of three. There are nine gifts of the Spirit. And so we've found out already there's three revelation gifts. Gifts that reveal something. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then we found out there are three power gifts. Gifts that do something. And that is the gift of special faith, then the working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And then there's the gifts of utterance or inspiration, and these are the gifts that say something. And they are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And we found out that these are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit, praise God. In fact, he says that. And he goes on down here. In verse 11, "But one and the selfsame Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." In other words, he says, all of these things operate as the Spirit of God wills. That's why you have to learn how to operate with the Spirit. Amen? If we learn how to work with the Holy Ghost, then we become a vessel that He can work through and manifest these gifts through, praise God. And, of course, we found out there verse 6, or right here, verse 7, actually, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." In other words, these gifts are not in the church to scare people off. They're in the church to bring blessing and profit the church. Amen? To equip the church. Hallelujah. Notice that he said again that all of these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Do you know it doesn't take the Holy Spirit any more power to manifest a miracle than it does to manifest a prophecy? Same Holy Spirit that had you to prophesy is the same Holy Spirit that operates the gifts of healings. See, the reason it's more difficult for most of us is because we get a woo whenever it comes to some of the other gifts. Hallelujah. And we think, oh, you got to be some spiritual giant to operate the working of miracles. Well, you know, I've got news for you. Even us little spiritual peons can operate working miracles. If you can speak in tongues, you can work a miracle. Amen? Because it's not you doing it anyway. Notice it doesn't say, but the manifestations of Huffman are, or your name, or anybody else, amen, but the manifestations of the Spirit. In other words, these are the things of the Holy Spirit. These are not us doing it. These are things that the Spirit of God is doing, amen? Now, God is working with us because He says He distributes these to people, to us, as He wills. In other words, God is going to operate these gifts through us. Why? Because we've already found out in John chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, and John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, that what have we found? That if we love the Lord and obey Him, He'll send us another helper. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our helper. What is the helper? He's the assist. One. He's the one who assists us. He's the one who helps us do the work. You see, you got to understand something, folks. The Holy Spirit was not given the Great Commission. The church was given the Great Commission. Holy Spirit doesn't lay hands on the sick to get healed. The body of Christ, the believers, lay hands on the sick to get healed. But the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints us with the healing power to get them healed. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit doesn't witness to people to get saved. We are called to be laborers in the harvest to witness to people to get them saved. But the Holy Spirit anoints us so that our words have a power to them that draws people to Christ. Amen. But you and I are supposed to operate in these things as the Spirit wills. In other words, I need to get knowledgeable of what they are, how they operate, and then begin to flow in them. Praise God. Amen? And so let's look at some of these power gifts. We've looked already and seen some of the things concerning the revelation. Yes, let's look at these power gifts. Praise God. Notice here in verse 9, he goes down here and he says this, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and then in verse 10, to another the working of miracles. Notice that the apostle lines up all three of these power gifts in these two verses here. Now, one translation says special faith, and that's really what it should be. For the gift of faith is a supernatural power to the believer by the Holy Spirit to receive a miracle. Praise God. Did you hear me? It is a supernatural faith that's given to you so that you can actually receive a miracle from God. And it is a faith beyond natural faith. It's not saving faith like Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Because you see, you receive the saving faith through the grace of God, and God gives you that measure of faith, but that's so you can get saved. Amen? It's not Romans 12, 3. It's not just a general faith that God gives to all believers, because Galatians 3, 11 says that the just shall live by faith. No, you can operate that faith. In fact, you can build that faith up, can't you? Give me a good amen. Hallelujah. See, you can operate in that kind of faith, and the faith that gets saved comes by hearing the Word of God. So the salvation faith comes to you when you hear God's Word, because in Romans chapter 10, he says, whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he drops down in verse 17, says, faith to call on the name of the Lord comes by hearing the Word. Amen? And so that salvation faith came to me through the Word of God. General faith, then, is given to me as I walk with the Lord and grow in the Word and grow in the things of God. I begin to trust God more and I live by faith. Amen? And it's not the fruit of faith like Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's more of faithfulness. And that's fruit that begins to be produced in your life after you're born again, praise God. And once again, fruit can be grown, can it? It can be matured. So if it's the fruit of faith, you are the one supposed to grow that. Amen? Hallelujah. So this special faith that the apostle is talking about here is actually a faith that goes beyond your faith. It is a faith that takes you to a level where you just believe God and it's going to be so. Hallelujah. It's where you believe that when you say it, it's going to happen. Whenever you step into it, it's going to be there. Praise God. I've had the privilege of operating in this special faith at times in my life. In fact, when it was in operation, I would do things and I was amazed at myself. It's like I stepped back and listened to myself and I thought, is that me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I watched God do some spectacular things in certain times, praise God. Now, the gift of faith is more of a passive faith. Meaning what? It's not something where you're going to jump out and do something, but it's more of a faith where you're able to believe God in a situation and it doesn't shake you, it doesn't rock you. For instance, remember over in Daniel chapter 6, you know that Daniel got in trouble with the king, and well, not really with the king, but with some of the people that was wanting favor with the king, because he wouldn't do what everybody else was doing. He wouldn't bow his knees. Amen? And so they said, let's get a decree that if anybody don't do this, we're going to throw them in the lion's den. And so that, you know, Daniel just kept on praying and worshiping God. He wasn't going to compromise his walk with God. And so they came and said, you know, we got somebody that's not doing what you decreed. And the king says, my God, I've been tricked. Because he respected Daniel. He didn't want Daniel to care. And so the king came to him and said, listen, Daniel, the Lord God you serve continually, he will spare you from the mouths of these lions over in Deuteronomy, Daniel chapter 6. In other words, the king, but then of course, you know, you don't want to live on his faith, because the Bible says then he went to his bedroom after they put Daniel down in the den and didn't sleep all night and worried and fasted and prayed. And then the next morning it says, with a lamentable voice, he came before the den and said, Daniel, are you there? Did your God help you? In other words, I don't want him praying for me. Amen. Well, thank God he's operating in all the faith he had. But you know what? They dropped old Daniel down in that lion's den, and Daniel just went all around, laid down, went to sleep that night. Amen. And the next day, Daniel says, you know, King, don't do yourself any harm. Live forever. I'm here. I'm fine. Because I didn't do anything against you, and I didn't do anything against God, and God has taken care of me. And in Daniel 6:23, it says, and God delivered Daniel out of the mouths of the lion because he believed God. How many of you know it takes more than just a general faith or a Bible faith for you to be put down in a den where there's six or seven lions that are hungry and they see you as steak? Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you know that was a miracle, wasn't it? Daniel was given faith to believe God beyond the natural ability of believing God with just the word. Hallelujah. It was a supernatural faith that came upon him. Somebody says, well, maybe they just weren't hungry. Well, read the rest of the chapter. The king said, you know, I'm changing the decree, and everybody that messed up and tried to get Daniel killed, throw them in. And the Bible says that the lions got him before they hit the bottom of the floor. I mean, they were jumping up in the air eating him on the way down. Huh? So don't talk to me about this crazy stuff. Praise God. That was a sustained miracle all night long. Praise God. Well, how about, you know, in the New Testament, Acts chapter 12, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but you remember, you know, Herod, he's decided, you know, that he's going to, you know, he kills James, the brother of John, and then he takes Peter and throws him in jail. And so, you know, he locks him up. It's a feast day, so he's going to wait until after the feast is over, and then he's going to bring him out and have Peter put to death. And you know what Peter did? He's chained between some soldiers. Back in the jail, he went to sleep. Now, somebody put you in jail and told you they're going to, you know, shoot you or hang you or, you know, cut your head off tomorrow. Would you go to sleep and lay there, and, you know? And so Peter just went to sleep. Yeah. And the Bible says along around midnight of that nighttime, you know, late in the night, an angel comes along. You know what the angel did? The angel came over and smote him on the side. He was sound asleep. And the angel says, get up and tie your shoes on. So, okay. And so he's drowsy and the chains fell off of his hands. And so he gets up and ties his shoes. How many of you know that's a miracle going on right now? And then the angel says, put your clothes on. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he puts his clothes on. And then he walk out and the gates open up. And Peter's walking along just praising the Lord. Hallelujah. And a miracle is going on all around him. How many of you know that wasn't his faith getting that done? How many of you know that was the manifestation of the gift of faith operating in him? Amen? Hallelujah. And it says that whenever finally the town gate opened up, they walked through and the angel disappeared, Peter went, my God, this isn't a vision. I'm really doing this. Hallelujah. He came back down to himself, didn't he? Amen? Now, what was the difference in that gift of faith in operation there in that jail and Peter's regular faith later on? Remember, he went back to Mark's house and they was having prayer. And so the little lady, you know, Rhoda, she comes over there and she gets so excited. And finally, he convinces them that, you know, he's supposed to be. Then he's, you know, I've been set free. And then it says he left there and went somewhere else. Why? Because he knows that's the first place they're going to come looking for. Guess what? The gift of faith is no longer in operation. Hallelujah. Now he's back to his normal faith, and he's going to find him someplace where he can believe God at the level of faith where he's at, not to get thrown back in that jail again. Amen? So you see, the gift of faith is not something that you're going to operate in, you know, 24/7, but it is times that God will cause this special faith to come on us in an impossible situation. And when it does, it just elevates you up to the place where you almost think you're in a dream. Because it's that real and it's that easy. And you can believe God beyond your ability. And when God does that, it's to give you a miracle in your life. Amen? In fact, over in Acts, you know, you can read where the apostle Paul, you know, in what, the 27th chapter, he had a word of wisdom. Through a perception, he said, listen, I would encourage you not to launch this ship right now. I know it's got fair weather and it looks really good, but I'm going to tell you right now, I perceive that this damage is going to have much hurt. There's going to be disaster. We're going to lose. In fact, we could get killed. Don't do that. That's a word of wisdom. Amen? because it's a future event and God's trying to warn them. Guess what? They didn't listen to him, did they? And so you know what they do? They get into that storm and everybody gives up. What did Paul do? Paul goes in and finds him a cabin someplace and prays and worships and ministers to the Lord. And what happens? An angel comes down and tells him what's going to do. And Paul walks out there with a word from the Lord given to him by an angel and says, listen, it's all right. You should have listened to me. You wouldn't have lost your ship, wouldn't have lost your, all your goods. But I'm going to tell you right, if you'll stick with me, everybody's going to live. Praise God. Everybody's going to make it. Listen to me, folks. That is the gift of faith in operation. He's not working in America. He's not rebuking the storm, but he has got the faith to believe God that they're all going to be safe right in the midst of that storm. Amen? A destructive force is coming to destroy them, but this man has not only got the faith for himself, but he's got faith for everybody on that ship. How many of you believe that would be a good operation in your life? Amen? If God would manifest that every now and then in your life. Hallelujah. Well, you know, how am I going to get these gifts to operate? I'm not some big spiritual somebody. Who did the Lord say that he's going to operate these gifts to? Well, 1 Corinthians 14:1, once again. Look what he says. Read it to you out of the Amplified. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. Now listen to this next part. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts. Hallelujah. What's he saying? Covet, earnestly desire, seek after the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen? What's that mean? You ought to be praying, God, I'm believing you that everything that is available to me is going to be released to me. God, I'm going to study this out. I'm going to learn how they work, and I'm going to get involved in the things of God. And when you read these, now listen to me. Have you ever noticed that none of these gifts manifest to people that are sitting around doing nothing for God? They're manifesting to people that are out here doing something for the Lord, aren't they? People that are living for God, people that are busy about the Father's business. Those are the ones that the Spirit of God is manifesting these things through. I remember hearing Brother John Osteen. You know, he said, you know, he was a Baptist pastor and got filled with the Holy Ghost and got with Brother Hagin, started learning some things about, you know, the move of God. And so he was an evangelist at the time. And so he said, you know, I was sitting in my home praying. And he said, I was claiming, oh, Lord, I read there and I heard Brother Hagin teach on the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm praying for the prophecy. And I'm praying for tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I'm praying, Lord, for gifts of healings. And I'm praying, Lord, for working in miracles. I'm praying, Lord, God. And he went right down the line, naming them off. And he said he'd prayed for a couple of days and finally was sitting there praying, oh, God, I thank you for gifts of healing. Thank you, Lord, for working in miracles. Thank you, Lord, for gift of faith. Thank you, Lord, for... And he said, the Lord spoke to him, said, why do you need those? He said, well, Lord, you said to covet after him. He said, well, that's fine. I appreciate you coveting after these. And, you know, King James says, covet these gifts. Desire these gifts. He said, I appreciate it. He said, but what are you needing for? You just sitting there in your rocking chair in your home. He said, there's no sick person sitting here around you. He said, there's nobody needs a miracle sitting here in your living room. He said, there's nobody in here needs direction in your living room. He said, son, I just don't give you these gifts so you can sit around in your living room feeling spiritual. He said, go out and do what I told you to do, and then these gifts can manifest. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, he said, I thought, well, glory to God, I'll just believe God. So he set up a meeting, went out and held this meeting. He said, we're going to have a healing service. And so he said, you know, I'm up there. And he said, I believe that the Lord's given me gifts of healings to minister to people. And I'm going to encourage you to come out. And he said, deep down in my heart, I was praying, oh, God, send me somebody with a headache, something easy. Hallelujah. And he said, the first person came up was a deaf person, had never heard in their life. And he said, oh, God, this is not what I wanted. Hallelujah. And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, who's doing the healing, me or you? Amen. And he said, well, it's not me. He said, you got that right, boy. He said, it's me. Now lay your hands on his ears and tell him to hear, and I'll release the power to healing. Praise God. And you know what? It actually happened. He did it, and he said, praise God. He said, I turned him around and said, now say praise the Lord. And he said, the guy's lit up because his ears popped open. Praise God. And he just ran up and down the aisle shouting and praising God. Hallelujah. Somebody says, I wish that worked for me. No, it don't come by wishing. You have to earnestly desire. And then you have to cultivate an environment where that can operate in your life. Amen. You have to prepare yourself and seek God so He can operate these things. And then you have to expect it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe God that if I find myself in a situation where I'm needing a miracle, I believe God can give me that miracle. Amen. And if I use my faith all the way up to where it runs out, then I can trust the Holy Ghost to take me to a special faith that goes beyond mine. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Smith Wigglesworth did. I remember reading about him, and it's recorded that he had several people raised from the dead. And it said he was praying for this lady, and she passed away while he was praying for her. She was in the bed. He'd been praying, and she died in the bed. And she was a young lady, and the family had invited him over. And he said, I was praying, and he said, I kept hearing no. And my faith got up, and he said, I hit the ceiling, and my faith kept hearing no. My faith kept hearing no, but I just kept pressing in with my faith, and praying with my faith. Then all of a sudden, the anointing of the Holy Ghost came on me, and all of a sudden, the windows opened up, and my faith went up to that one, and that faith took over, and I stepped over and I said, now rise and be healed. And said she jumped out of the bed and was totally healed and raised up. Praise God. But he used his faith as far as he could get his faith, and then he put it in God's hands. Amen. Now, will that happen all the time? Nope, didn't happen all the time for him. But it will never happen if you don't try it. It'll never happen if you don't desire it. It'll never happen if you don't accept and expect God to do it for you. Amen. So we have to get ourselves to expecting. So the gift of faith is for us to elevate up to a place where if you're going through something, God gives you the faith to be able to stand and receive His miracle-delivering power to get you through that situation. Amen? Now, the difference in the gift of faith and working of miracles is this. The working of miracles is divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. It is actively performing a miracle. What do you mean? The Old Testament's full of the working of miracles. You know, when Moses stood there before the sea and lifted his rod and the sea divided and they walked across, how many of you know that's a working of miracles? Amen? It's a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. How many of you know that when Elijah, you know, he came to the River Jordan and he told Elijah, just stay here. And he says, no, sir, where you go, I'm going, praise God. And so Elijah took his mantle and he just smote the water and walked across. Because it went dry shot. Hallelujah. That's a working of miracles, isn't it? Remember when Joshua was going to bring the children of Israel over into the promised land and the River Jordan was flooding? And so God told him, it's time to go. Isn't it amazing? God will tell us it's time to go at the worst time. Anybody besides me thought that God has really bad timing? Amen. I mean, it's flood season. The waters are flowing over the banks, and God says, it's time to go now. God, can we not wait a little while? Hallelujah. But you know what Joshua did? He stepped out in faith, and when those priests' feet stepped down into the water, God backed that river up and they walked across dry shod, working in miracles. God divinely intervened. The difference in the gift of faith is like Daniel. He just laid down and passively received a miracle all the way through that situation. The gift of faith, whenever Paul was on that ship and he got into total peace, knowing the ship was breaking up, things are going crazy around him, but it's okay. We're going to live and not die. God's going to get us out of this thing. Amen? But now working in miracles is just like the Lord Jesus in Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Remember, he taught them all day about the sower sowing the word and how you have to hear the word and you have to be a doer of the word. And the disciples came to him later on and said, Lord, teach us about this. And so he taught them and expounded it. And here they've been being taught by Jesus all day. And so the Lord says, hey, let's go across the other side. And so they get in the boat and they're going across the other side. And Jesus gets in the back of the boat, gets him a pillow and says, you know, I've worked all day, preached all day. You guys, you know, go ahead and row us across. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, a storm comes up. Waves start beating in. And you know what? Every one of those 12 disciples forgot everything they'd been taught that day. Come on. They just forgot everything. They got their eyes totally off the word. And Jesus had already told them in Mark 4:14. He said, the sower sows the word. And he said in verse 15, and these that hear the word, and the word gets down their heart, and the devil comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. So you don't let him steal the word, because you can't produce if you don't get the word in your heart. And the kingdom operates by you acting on the word. Praise God. And now here they are. And the first thing you know, here comes a storm. And they already forgot about the word. Hallelujah. And what they do, they got into fear and panic. How many of you know the gifts of the Spirit do not operate through fear and panic? Amen. And so what happens is this. They run back and wake the Lord up. Isn't it amazing? He's sleeping through a storm that's trying to sink the boat. Now, why is the Lord Jesus sleeping through that storm? Because he just told him, go to the other side. And he believes that his words are going to work for him. Amen? I don't care how bad that storm was. If those disciples would have stood up on the front of that boat and spoke to that storm and said, Jesus said to go to the other side, and you're not big enough to stop me, now shut up and get out of our way, I believe the storm would have obeyed them. Amen? But they woke the Lord up, and the Lord gets on them, and he looks around, and he says, what is wrong with you people? It's modern-day translation of what he said, amen? But if he was today, he would say, what is wrong with you? Didn't you hear what I taught you all day and then took time to explain to you today? Why are you in fear? Let me show you what you should do. And the Lord steps up, and you know what he did? He spoke to that storm, peace be still, and it just shut down. How many of you know this is working in miracles? Amen. Working in miracles. Why? You can't stop a storm with your natural faith, can you? But you can with the power of God. And so the working of miracles, Jesus actively worked a miracle when he stepped out in faith and released his faith for God to get him to the other side. Amen? So working in miracles is when you use what God has given you, and then God puts his anointing upon that and does a supernatural manifestation to change the circumstances, to change that situation in your life. Praise God. Actually, the word miracles there in the Greek means working of powers. Mighty powers. It also means explosions of almightiness. I don't know about you, but I like explosions of almightiness in my life. Amen? It also means impelling, staggering wonders and astonishments. How many of you know that when the working of miracles is in operation, it's astonishing. It's amazing. It'll get your attention on it. Amen? Huh? Praise God. In fact, it really got the attention of those disciples. Because even the disciples said, what kind of man is this that even the storms obey him? Oh my God. Amen? They were astonished and amazed, and they were with him all the time. Because when God intervenes, folks, it's beyond the natural. It's supernatural. And these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are things God wants to do in the church today. Amen? But we have to seek him and learn these things and grow in these things. Now, working in miracles can also operate in healings. Look over in John's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Let's look at something here. We're working in miracles. And actually, working in miracles and gifts of healings operate together when it comes to miracle healings. Gifts of healings is supernatural healings of disease without any natural help. In other words, the gifts of healings in operation, you get healed by the power of God, not by anything natural that you do. It's just God's power comes on you and the disease is gone. God heals you. Amen? And working in miracles, a lot of times, what people are doing is this. To get healed, they're wanting a miracle instead of a healing. Because you see, in Mark 16, Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. A healing by your faith is a recovery. It may take a few seconds, a few hours, a few months, but it will get done because you're releasing your faith to get healed. Amen? A lot of people are defeated because they mistake healing with a miracle. If every symptom doesn't leave immediately, they don't think they got anything. But you see, it takes a miracle of healing for every symptom to leave immediately. Amen? And miracles and healings work together, but they're only as the Spirit of God wills. In fact, if you'll find out and study your scriptures, you'll find that the majority of the healings that Jesus did in his ministry on earth were done through faith by him and the person that he was praying for. Most of the healings that the Lord Jesus did in his earthly ministry were not healing miracles. They were healings released by believing God. And the norm for us to be healed is for us to release our faith, claim our rights as Christians, and receive the healing that's been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God there are healing miracles and there are working of miracles and gifts of healings where the working of miracles, God divinely intervenes into your situation and God heals you without you doing anything at all to get your healing. And those work too. I've seen those. Praise God. We've experienced those. We've celebrated those. Praise God. Amen. And I believe we should be celebrating more of those as we get closer to God. Amen. We should be seeking God for more healings and more miracles. But let's look here in John chapter 9. Look what happens in verse 1. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." Notice this. This man, he's never seen. He's been blind from the birth. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" See, everybody's wanting to blame somebody because you got a problem. You must have made a mistake. Your parents must have made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake because that's what happened. You know, this is you being punished for some sin. But you know what? The Lord corrects that stupid teaching. Listen to what he says. "Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." Now, this is the thing, folks. Then people mistake what he's saying there. They say, "Well, no, he was born blind so I could heal him." Well, that's a mean God. And Jesus has already taught us that a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So if God the Father made him blind and caused him to be born blind, and Jesus comes along to heal him, then God the Father and the Son, they're confused because they're not together on this thing. And if God just puts things on you so that you know, he can do something in your life to get glory. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to serve a God that would make my kids blind, you know, or make me blind or make me sick. Are you listening to me? No, what is the Lord saying here? He's saying this. He said, no, this man didn't sin. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. It's not their fault that he was born blind. But now I've come along and I'm going to show you what God's will is. God's will is not this young man to be blind. God's will is not for him to be outcast. God's will is not for him to be marked as somebody that you condemn or put down or unworthy. God is going to show you that he loves him. And I'm going to show you that it's God's will to heal him and cause him to see, not cause him to be blind. Amen? And I'm going to do the works of my Father. Do you notice that Jesus hasn't done the works of the Father yet? So if the blindness was the works of God, then Jesus would say, I've already done the works of God. But no, he says, I've come to do the works of the Father. Hallelujah. Who sent me? And he says this, the night is coming when no man can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. In other words, I've come to enlighten you and show you that God doesn't do things like this to people. And he doesn't punish kids because of parents. He doesn't punish parents because of something they've messed up. He doesn't come and put things on people to destroy them. And he didn't send me just so he could show that he's big enough to changes. Come on, you need to get a hold of that, because that's a silly, stupid teaching that has wrecked so many people's lives and kept people from living for God. Well, God put that on you because you messed up, or God put that on you because your parents didn't live for God, or God just put that on you so that one day he'll heal you or deliver you and he'll get the glory from it. So I'm supposed to suffer so God can get glory? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, his parents didn't cause this. He didn't cause this. Basically, there's a devil in this world, and he's the one that caused this. This ain't the work of God. Blindness ain't the work of God. I'm going to show you what the work of God is. I'm about to demonstrate to you what God's work is in this situation. Amen? Are you listening to me? Now look what he does. "And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spittle," or with the saliva, "and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. What was the works of God? A healing miracle. Notice this guy didn't do anything to get healed. Jesus did it all. Jesus made clay. Jesus put it in his eyes. And, you know, some church historians say that this man was born without eyes. And so the Lord made the clay because we're made from the dust of the earth. And so he made the clay, put it in there, and did a creative miracle and actually put eyes in the man's eyeball sockets. Amen. creative miracles. So this is working in miracles and gifts of healings in operation right here. How many of you know you just can't spit on the ground, get some clay and rub it in somebody's eyes, and they go down here and wash it off in the river Ohio and, you know, and come back sing? Huh? Now, how did the man get the miracle? All he did was cooperate with Jesus. Because even with gifts of healings and working in miracles in operation when it comes to our healing, we still have to cooperate with the Lord. We still have to do what He says to do. Amen? If we don't cooperate with Him, it won't work. Amen. I remember one time years ago, this was years ago, probably about maybe up to 38 years ago, before I ever came here, praise God. I can remember I was holding a service, and we were having a healing service. And there, you know, we were younger then and full of energy and energetic, and some of the guys brought a fellow in a wheelchair, and they brought him up, and they were all fired up because they're believing God for a miracle for him. And I'll tell you what, the anointing of God came on me, and I was standing there, and I said, "Lift him up." And they lifted him up out of that wheelchair, and he was just dangling there. And I said, "Now I'm going to point my finger at you in the name of Jesus, and the power of God is going to hit you. Be healed." So I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And I pointed out, and the power of God hit him, and he stood straight up. And the two guys let go of him, and they went, like that. And about that time, he looked down and caught himself, and he fell right back down in the chair. And they all looked at him, and the Holy Ghost came on him and said, "You don't have faith to believe, and you never will, do you?" He says, "No, sir, I don't believe I'll ever get out of this chair." And I said, "Okay." I turned and walked off. Just like this blind man. Jesus could have put that clay in his eye and said, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face and you'll come sing." The man could have walked about halfway down the block and went, "You know what? This is crazy. I ain't going to do this. Why would I have to wash my eyes over there to get this? I can just go to the house and wash it off." And you know what? He had not gotten anything. Because even with a miracle, we can stop it from working in our life. Come on, if we get in fear, doubt, and unbelief and don't cooperate with the Lord, then we're going to have a problem with it, aren't we? Amen? Let's show you another place. Look in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. See, when the power of God's moving, a lot of people think, "Well, you know what? If it's the Holy Ghost moving like this, He'll just do it." God will never override your will. Amen? He'll do it for you, but He won't make you do it. You have to work with Him. You have to still do what He says to do. Do you think that when they brought that man that was lame, the four friends, and put him down through the roof, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. Now get up and go home." Do you think if that man would look at him and said, "Now, Jesus, you know, I appreciate that, but you know, don't you see me laying here crippled in this stretcher? I can't get up." They'd have hauled him out there, and it wouldn't have worked. But you know what he did? When Jesus said, "Get up and walk," he just jumped up and walked. Praise God. Why? Because whenever the power of God hits you, you got to respond to it. You got to receive it. Even if it's a miracle, you got to receive it. Are you listening to me? See, I think this is where we get in trouble. We come to church and we think, "Well, I'm going to go find me someone who's anointed of God and operates in the gifts of healings, and I'll just get healed." Not if you don't believe. In fact, even if you get healed, you'll lose it on the way home or the next day or next week because you're not releasing your faith and claiming it as yours. You still have to believe God. Amen? God still expects some faith on our part. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's look in John chapter 5 real quickly. Look what he says here in verse 1. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in the Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." See, miracles were taking place there, praise God. Now look what happens. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there in that condition a long time. Notice he's got a word of knowledge. By the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost has showed Jesus he's been here a long time. He's been here 38 years. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew that. And he said, look what he says. Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to be made well? Because if you don't want to get it, it ain't going to happen. I can't force you to get well, but I can sure help you if you want to. Amen? Now look what happens. The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. And when the water stirred, but while I'm coming down, another steps down there before me. This is what happens. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now listen. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Hallelujah. Look what happened. He got healed without anything doing of his own. Isn't that right? He didn't do anything to get that healing except accept it. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple, remember, to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And on the way in, they find a lame man begging for alms. He'd been there for a long time. He was there when the Lord Jesus was going in and out of the temple. Amen. Jesus must have walked by him every day. Wonder why the Lord Jesus didn't just heal him, because the gifts of the Spirit don't operate as we will. They operate as the Spirit of God wills. And the Lord Jesus wasn't operating as the Son of God. He's operating as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. And so if the Holy Ghost didn't tell the Lord Jesus to do anything, he couldn't do anything any more than you and I could. Woo-hoo-hoo. People say, oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, you will if you grow a little bit. Praise God. Because you find out that the Lord Jesus had to do what we have to do because he was our example. And so the Lord had walked past him. You know, and we know the Lord had miracles operating because he just told that man there to get up and take his bed and he got healed. Told a blind man to go wash and he got healed. So we know gifts of healings working and miracles is operating in the Lord's life. But here he goes by this man all this time. He's doing his ministry and he never does ministry. Now here comes Peter and John. And all of a sudden Peter catches this man's attention. And all of a sudden for the first time, notice Peter and John are going to pray. They're not going to preach. They're not going to minister. They're going to the temple to pray, to minister to the Lord. And as they go into the temple, what happens? It says that they saw this man and Peter fixed his eyes upon him and said, look on us. That's the gift of faith. There's no hesitation. There's no doubt. There's no indecision. That's look on us. That's bold, isn't it? That's the gift of faith. Why? Because Peter already knows something big is about to happen. Hallelujah. And then Peter looks at the man and he says, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk and be healed. And you know what he did? It says he reached over and he grabbed the man's hand and lifted him up. And while he was lifting him up, strength came to his legs and he was jumping and dancing. When did the man get healed? Gifts of healings and working of miracles flowed from Peter to him and jerked him up. And the man was healed on the way up. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you read down a little bit further, and it says when everybody started looking at Peter and John and all the people and thinking they were something special, you know what Peter said? He said, don't look at us as something special. In other words, it wasn't my faith that did it. I don't have enough. I've got faith, but it wasn't my faith. That was a supernatural faith. And he said, in fact, he goes down and he says this. He says, it was faith in the name of Jesus, the faith that comes by the Lord to us so that he can do these things in our life. Amen. It was a supernatural faith. So you know what happened that day? The gift of faith and working of miracles and gifts of healings all came together and the man got healed. Amen. You know what God wants to do in this hour we're living in? He wants us to be steadily pursuing him. And at some time in our life, should he want to interrupt, that we're sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to let him interrupt our procedure and do a miracle with us. Amen. What if Peter and John had been going along and said, hey, God, just let me go pray, then I'll come back and minister to that guy. It was a divine interruption. Notice that the gifts of healings, working of miracles, and gift of faith didn't happen in the church. They happened on the steps going to church. Notice it didn't happen during prayer. It happened before prayer. Notice it didn't happen while they were preaching. See, these gifts of the Spirit, folks, they are to manifest as the Spirit of God wills. And God will do things. To me, I just say it, be honest with you, so you know what we're coming. Sometimes at the oddest times. Amen. Just at the oddest times, God will do some things. Hallelujah. I've been out minding my own business, just doing nothing. And the Spirit of God come on me and have me to do something. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that the Lord Jesus got as many people healed on his way to his next service as he did in the service? Why? Because he just didn't live the ministry life when he was preaching. He lived the ministry life 24/7. He wasn't just the Son of God doing the will of his Father on the Sabbath. He was the Son of God doing the will of God everywhere he went. Peter and John learned that from the Lord. That's why on the way to the temple to pray, they could be interrupted in their daily procedure, and God could work a miracle with them even before they prayed. Isn't that amazing? Peter had nothing to do with that. He didn't plan on getting that guy healed. He didn't plan on getting 5,000 people saved. He didn't plan on getting thrown in jail. He was just going to pray. And God just butted in and said, no, let's do a miracle. And then with that miracle, let's go ahead and get several thousand people saved. And let's just keep the church flowing and going. Hallelujah. Do you think we need that today? I do. I do. I believe we need all these manifestations. I believe we need to know the things of God. See, the revelation gifts are really the spirit of seeing and knowing. In other words, you're able to see and know the things that God wants done. And the power gifts are the anointings upon you to do the works of Jesus Christ and to see the results of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? And then, of course, the utterance gifts are so you can speak out the things of God. And it's all to bring blessing to somebody else. Amen? Always remember, the gifts of healings work from somebody else to you. They don't work from you to you. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? In other words, I don't use the gifts of healing for my healing. I use my faith. The gifts of healings work from one to another. They always flow from someone to someone else. Amen? That's the way it's always been. The blind man didn't heal himself with gifts of healings. The gifts of healings worked through Jesus to get him healed. Amen? This lame man didn't heal himself through the gifts of healing. The gifts of healings worked through the Apostle Peter to get him healed. Are you listening to me? So what am I going to do? I'm going to seek God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to let the Spirit of God move. And then I'm going to say, Lord, use me wherever you can use me. Let your anointing flow through me and help me to be a help to others. And you know what? If I go to prayer and God doesn't tell me to go get somebody healed, I'll just go to prayer. Amen. Amen? And then if I come out of that prayer and God tells me to go lay hands on somebody, I'll just go do it. Praise the Lord. And we'll see God do great and mighty things. Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to work in our lives, every one of us. Every one of us. Just like we shared last night. You know what? It was amazing that you read over there that God calls out, what was his name? Ananias there. He's praying and just ministering to the Lord. And Saul of Tarsus has just had an encounter with Jesus over here in the street called Straight at Judas' House. And while he's praying, the Holy Ghost appears to him in a vision. He has a revelation and a word of knowledge and a vision and discerning spirits. All these revelation gifts start operating. And God says, I want you to go over here and lay hands on him. Now, he had to step out in faith and go do that. But you think of it, folks. That's the last time you hear of that man in the New Testament. But because of his obedience and his diligence to serve the Lord, he laid hands on the man who changed the world. He laid hands on the man who would become the apostle who would write 2/3 of the New Testament. And he was what we call today an everyday going to church believer. Hallelujah. So don't ever say the Lord can't use me. And if He does use you, give Him all the glory and all the honor. And if He never does it again, rejoice that He got to do it once. Hallelujah. And just keep on serving Him. Amen. But I believe if we'll be humble, worship God, and give Him all the glory, we'll see great things take place. Because I believe that's what is coming. God is preparing us. Well, the Lord spoke to me back in the fall. I got to praying, and the Lord said, "We're in a seminar. I want you to teach on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And I want you to just give a general overview of each one, because I want my people to begin to be hungry again, because I'm coming with a great new mighty move." And God is raising up a people that will be sensitive to His Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and be vessels that the Spirit of God can manifest through. Amen?